Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Saturday! Welcome to another episode of Stash First Stations. I am super excited about today's episode. Today, my co-host, Will Van Plant, and I will be talking with Troy, who is a national pageant director, pageant coach, and pageant judge. Our show will begin shortly.
Hello.
Hey, thank you for being here with us today.
Hey, it's me.
How are you doing?
I am doing good. So great to talk to the two of you.
Yes, we are so excited.
We're very pleased to have you on the show today, Troy.
I just wanted to start out, before we get into all the questions and that, I just wanted to start out with a little show of solidarity. Today was an important day for the youth of our country, and I know all of us with Nationwide, myself included, we stand in support of the March for Our Lives and everything that the students of our country are trying to do.
Well, and you participated in a march day too, didn't you, Troy?
Yes.
Oh, could you tell us just a little bit about that before we get started?
Just lots of people and lots of inspiration.
Oh, right. And where was that at?
There was one in Omaha. Well, there was quite a few, but there was one in Omaha, yeah.
Oh, good. Well, we're pleased. We know you're very busy, and we're very pleased you could join us. But we agree with you, yes, that it's an important issue, and we're glad to be able to support that as well with you. So, but we have some great questions, and so we're going to go ahead and get started with the first one from Tiffany.
Yeah. So, tell us about yourself and how you began to be involved in pageantry.
Okay, well, I am a 48-year-old guy. I'm a native Iowan. I live here in Council Bluffs with my husband of 20 years. I'm an activist, a believer in equality for all. I'm a civil rights commissioner for the city of Council Bluffs, and I'm on the management team at Party City. But back in 1998, I was actually asked to be an escort for the Miss Iowa USA pageant, and I've been involved in pageants ever since. I've been a judge, a local director for several systems, a state director, a pageant coach, and, of course, now a national director.
Systems have you judged for or been involved with?
I have been involved with and judged numerous systems, the Miss Iowa, which is part of Miss America, the Miss Nebraska, which is part of Miss America, Miss Nebraska's Outstanding Teen, National American Miss for many years, the International Junior Miss System, Mrs. Nebraska America, the Miss Amazing Pageant System, Mrs. International, and then, of course, now my main focus is Miss Nationwide.
Wow. Well,
that's very impressive.
Yes, very well-rounded. And speaking of Miss Nationwide, can you tell us a little bit about the system and when you got involved and why you decided to and when you became the national director?
Definitely. The Miss Nationwide pageant system was started in 2012. It was started as an online pageant by a gentleman named Troy Escamilla. After 3 years as an online pageant, in 2015, he started signing up state directors and then held the first live onstage national pageant in Houston. That's when I got involved, was as a state director. Then in 2016, Nationwide reverted back to being an online pageant for a year. But then with my becoming the new national director, we've moved it back to being a live pageant. We're going to return to the stage this July for our 2018 national pageant in Omaha, Nebraska, and we'll be crowning our 2018 Miss Nationwide and our very first Mrs. Nationwide 2018. The pageant system itself is about supporting community, growing confidence, and creating charity. Our contestants and title holders must be passionate about their personal platform and community service in the areas that they live. Our areas of competition cover interview, which is 30%. During their interview, a platform presentation, which is 10%. During the actual pageant, the onstage platform statement, which is 20%. Then we've got elegance and evening gown, 15% of their total. Personal style and expression, 15% of their total. And then onstage questions, which are directly related to their platform, is another 10%. We also have People's Choice Internet voting and the state costume competition. But when the previous national director decided he wanted to go in a different direction, he'd offered me the chance to step up and assume the national directorship position and to take over the system. And at that point, I didn't think twice about saying yes. Belief in empowering young women to be the best that they can be has always been my leading example to make the pageant system the best that it can be.
Well, and just for our listeners, go ahead, Tiffany.
Oh, no, you're fine. I was just going to say, so do you see, Troy, that more pageant systems are going towards platform-based systems, that they are coming more platform-based? Do you see that trend?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think if you look at the big ones, Miss America's always had a platform. Miss USA has went to the platform and is making it more prominent. So many of the pageants that I see and that I judge, you know, the contestants are so involved in platforms and in charity and in community service. I think that's become becoming a cornerstone in so many more systems across the country. And it's great because, you know, it makes it so much, it makes the title so much more than just the crown and the sash. It makes it, you know, you're doing something that you believe in that helps benefit the areas that you live.
Well, and speaking of becoming involved, you also branched out and you have a pageant coaching business. And I know about that because, well, I have been one of your clients in the past. And so I know about it. But would you tell our listeners when you started your coaching business and the types of coaching that you do for your clients and some of the things that you offer them?
Sure. Crowning Achievement Consulting, I started after we returned from the Miss Nationwide 2015 National Pageant in Houston. At that pageant, my state title holder, Miss Iowa, won the national crown. And I came back and I thought, you know, I could maybe branch this out and help others. So I started the coaching business, and I offer pageant coaching, consulting, empowerment, interview coaching and training, public speaking training, image consultation, fundraising, and event planning.
And when you meet with a client, what are some of the things that you can help them with, especially if they're new to the pageant world?
You know, one of the things is talking with them, finding out their level of comfort, you know, what system is going to be best for them, because every system has its own strengths, and not all strengths fit all contestants. So, you know, if you're really talent-based, there's you know, pageant systems that you're going to excel in because of talent. You know, if you don't have the talent and you're not comfortable in swimsuits, you know, there's other systems that are going to be much more better suited for you. So that's really the first thing, is to find out what a young woman's strengths are and where she can really promote those strengths as she's competing. And from there, it just kind of, it's just, you know, A, B, C, D, you know, working on image, working on, you know, speaking, finding out what they can and can't do.
Well, and Troy, you helped me a lot because I was new to the pageant world, especially in my situation. I was new and I was doing Mrs. Pageants, which a lot of people just don't have a lot of knowledge about. And Troy and I sat down an entire afternoon, and we did things like go over the system, tips for going to nationals. We reviewed my wardrobe. We talked about some etiquette things. We talked about interview. And after that, about 3.5 hours we spent together, I had a much better feel for what was expected. And then Troy also gives Tiffany incredible shoe tips. And he then introduced me to Mark DeFang shoes, which really made me stand out at orientation at Mrs. International. So I have to say, as somebody that had never worked with a pageant coach, I think it's incredibly helpful to have somebody to support you and bounce ideas off of, and somebody who's been there, especially when you are brand new to pageants like I was, to have a mentor to say, this is the way it should be done, or these are the ways you might want to think about it should be done. And that made me feel better going to nationals, knowing I had that support.
And, you know, I just have to say, you know, as a laugh, ha-ha, Roseanne literally brought her whole closet to where I mean, 2.5 hours down the road to meet with me. Literally her whole closet.
Yes, the entire, everything I had bought, Tiffany, the gowns, the shoes, everything. And we were able to go through things. And I, you know, adjusted, changed my mind, thought about things. Mm-hmm. But I did. And then Troy was very generous. And he also traveled 2.5 hours my way. And he was the MC at my going away party where I modeled my entire week of wardrobe for the Mrs. International pageant. And he was so generous to come up and get to MC that and meet my support system up here in Sioux City. And that was a lot of fun.
Now, as an experienced judge, I know that you have seen some contestants make some mistakes. So what are those common mistakes that a lot of contestants make?
I think from where I sit behind the table, trying too hard. Contestants come out and they try too hard to be something that they think the judges want them to be. And they just, contestants, young or, you know, of the older generation, if you're competing, just come out and be yourself, because your individuality is going to shine through when you're yourself and you're relaxed. You know, if you're trying to be something that you perceive that you should be, it's just going to create problems for you, and those problems multiply across the stage to the judges. Another thing that goes right along with that is to be confident. You know, when you hit that stage, be confident, because your confidence is going to show, and that's going to make you be relaxed, and it's going to make you be yourself. And as a judge, believe me, we can sense when you're nervous. You might not realize it, but you might, you know, be reaching down and grabbing your gown while you're walking around. You know, your practice speeches, your practice introductions, if you're nervous, it's so easy to forget everything. You know, and that goes right along with sometimes, yes, you've practiced it word for word, you know, in that 30 seconds, but if you can make it come across as conversational and not memorized, it comes across even better as to a judge. One thing I always like to tell people is to keep in mind, we're not judging the gown or the outfits. We're judging you, the contestant, and how you wear the clothing, how you move in the outfits, how you handle being on stage, how you handle being in front of an audience. It truly is not about the gown. It's not about the outfit or the clothing. It's about you, the contestant. And then the final thing is also to be prepared. I can't tell you how many times I see contestants who you can tell from the minute they come out on stage, they're not prepared to be there. You know, and there's many reasons why that could be, but if you're not prepared, you might as well not step foot on that stage, because it's going to show and it's going to make you nervous. And again, it all then circles right back to your confidence. You know, if you're not prepared, when you're walking on that stage, your confidence is going to be low, and that's going to show in your scores.
Mm-hmm. And now I just want to tell our listeners, Tiffany, that when Troy and I prepped me to go to Mrs. International, I think this is something, too, to get you into that zone. But Troy taught me, you know, from the minute you step in the airport, and in my case, I flew to Nationals, he's like, you're on, because you never know. And this goes back to preparation. You don't know who's on that plane, who's in that airport. Mm-hmm. You know, he taught me, have that sash on. You know, you want to be properly attired and look like a queen getting on the airplane. This is not the time where you put your hair in a ponytail and you put sweats on. You know, I had an arrival outfit, which I carefully picked out, something that wouldn't wrinkle on the plane. You know, I wore my sash through the airport, and you know, just to be you, but also know that you never know who you're going to run into. You don't know who's standing behind you at the coffee stand getting a coffee, or who's boarding the plane with you. And also when you're, you know, waiting for the cab, getting to the hotel, you don't know if there's a judge behind you, because many times you don't know who the judges are until right before the competition, or maybe just at the competition. And so Troy even advised me to have very, like, if there was ever an opportunity where we were supposed to do something fun but athletic, have a brand new, like, very nice athletic outfit available. We truly, Troy, thought out every imaginable thing that I would need and made sure I had an outfit or an approach to how I was going to do that. And, you know, you never, at Mrs. International, you never left your hotel room unless you were completely put together, because you just didn't know. And that's being prepared. And I think if you go into that mm-hmm. with that mode, then you're prepared all the way, you know, through pageant week. And Troy ingrained that in me, that you are, especially at nationals, always on. And I know that I didn't see that in some other contestants, and I was glad that Troy had taught me that as a coach.
Well, and Roseanne, you hit the nail on the head. It's as a contestant, you are always on. And as a title holder, you are always on. Even if you don't have a sash or a crown on, mm-hmm. you are always on, because if you're at the pageant, the assumption is you're a contestant. So if I'm in an elevator and there's people, you know, young women in the elevator, my assumption is they're there competing, whether they have their name badge on or a number on, and they don't stop to think that, like you said, you don't know who's standing behind you in line. You don't know who's standing on the elevator with you. You know, there's times where we don't have our judges, you know, lanyards on. But we're watching, and the last thing you want is to say something that judge is going to hear that's going to stick with them the whole weekend.
Right. And so based on that, Troy, can you tell us, and I think we probably know some of this, but what are you looking for? What are the qualities that make up a winning queen in your mind?
It kind of goes back to the last question, but strength, belief, commitment, confidence, you know, that right there, if you have those and you hit that stage with those behind you and underneath of you and around you, you're going to be a winning queen. But it goes farther than that, because those qualities, whether you go home with the crown or sash, those qualities are going to make you a winning person the day after the pageant, the week after the pageant, the month after the pageant, 10 years after the pageant. You can't underestimate those qualities and how they affect you in your life.
Well, I can speak to this as somebody that I just did some very local things in college. Didn't thought that was the end of that dream, was given this great opportunity as a more mature lady to do Mrs. Pageants, and then of course to hold the Ms. Worldwide title. But I have to say that even after my professional training as an attorney, and even though I've been trained to stand up in court and represent people, and I know some people maybe don't believe this, but pageantry has given me another avenue of confidence, which has really paid off with some personal challenges that we've had in our household with my recent husband's injuries. And just, I just have to say that I'm even more strong when I want to speak to something or advocate for something. And I think that's from the pageant world and being told, you know, you can have a platform and go ahead and advocate for this. And I've added, you know, brain injury survivor and traumatic brain injury to my platform and put it with the therapy part of mine. And it does, it really does affect you down the road. And I really also like, and I'd love to get your opinion on this. I don't know, Troy, if you've been following the current Miss America, Kara Mund, but there's a lot of talk, and I don't know if it's when the transition that the Miss America organization is doing, but they talk a lot about the spirit of Miss America. I don't know if you've heard that there is one crown and there's one woman who is Miss America all year, but everybody, you know, in the Miss America system carries that spirit of Miss America. And I've noticed that's been sort of a new idea or theme that they have been developing this year. Have you heard about that?
I haven't, but I mean, it makes sense. And I think that's something that would be, you know, attributable to any pageant. You know, yes, you do have one crown, one title holder, but everybody who's involved is a representative, whether you're
right.
a local title holder, whether you're a state title holder. And it all comes back into how, as a whole, how your system is perceived.
Well, I just think it's a lovely thing. And she has even said in some of her Instagram posts, you know, it is the spirit of Miss America. I may be it for this year, but it's all these people. And as she goes state to state to state, she recognizes each of the state title holders. And I just thought, what a lovely thing that everybody, as she says, we share this crown. I may wear it, but we all share it. And I thought, what a wonderful sentiment that, like you said, other pageant systems, we should, maybe we've never said it, maybe we've always felt it, but what a wonderful thing that's starting to bubble up from really the reincarnation or the, I don't know, the reinvention of the Miss America organization after they went through that scandal with some of their board of directors.
Right.
Right.
You know, another thing that relates back to the qualities is the qualities, you know, are the strength, the confidence, you know, and how they affect and how they help you as a contestant in your everyday life and how they empower you to be the best that you can be and to stand up for the things that you believe in. It was interesting because not just a half hour ago, I was involved in a little bit of a Facebook, you could call it a spat, and somebody literally looked at my profile page and all that as them not being a friend, all they could see was certain things that I'm involved with, and they snapped back at, well, you know, that's really rich coming from somebody who, you know, works with women and makes money off of exploiting, you know, women and their bodies. And I thought, and I, you know, fired back with, you have no idea what you're talking about because you're not involved and you don't know the difference that those of us that truly believe in the pageant systems, the difference that we're making in these lives. Because I have seen the contestants that I judge. I've seen, you know, for example, in National American Miss, I judged for 4 years. I saw some of those contestants and how they grew each year and how they changed and how they became more confident and how they became more, you know, when they stepped on that stage. And it's amazing the difference that it makes.
Absolutely. And I think if we could hope for one thing for our young women in the world is that they would be sure of themselves and confident. And Tiffany, you know all about that too with your SASH program.
Yes, I do. And I was just going to say, what do you think we could do through pageantry to show people that they are wrong? Because some people have that negative connotation about pageantry. They think that women are just going out exploiting themselves. And maybe I'm asking my own question, but maybe these platform-based systems like the Nationwide system and the Worldwide system, you know, they show that women do have a voice in pageantry, and we use our platforms to do great things in our communities. So, you know, that's why I love platform-based pageants, because it's like showing them, hey, all pageants are not negative. Most pageants are not negative.
Right. And, you know, and I think it goes back to until somebody either attends or knows somebody or is involved, they can't get past the connotations that they have. And a lot of that stems from reality TV. You know, they all go back to, you know, one show in particular that just, you know, unfortunately did a lot of damage to pageant industry. And, you know, the more that we can get the word out there, the more that we can advocate. You know, I've had people flat out ask me, why are you so involved? Why do you care so much? Well, you know, once I tell them and once I show them and once they see what I do for the young women and for my contestants and for my title holders, they realize and then their opinions change. Well, if their opinions change, then people that they know will change, because the next time somebody steps up and says, they're going to step in and say, you know, that's not true. This is what it's really about. And it's that whole circle of life that, you know, it starts with us and it goes to the next person and it goes to the next person, and slowly but surely we change.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had an interesting experience. I went to Des Moines this week to actually advocate for something in my professional life that is somewhat controversial and also groundbreaking, and I was going to be checked in with, you know, the security at the Capitol building going to this meeting. I was meeting with the Attorney General of Iowa, and I was dressed as like you would expect me to be, in a very formal business suit and dress code and briefcase, and I happened to have a purse that said Queen Bee I had taken, and somebody said to somebody, well, she's the Queen Bee, and my client was with me and said, yes, she is. And then there was a moment when one of the older security guards stopped and he really looked at me, and I said, is there a problem? And he said, were you Mrs. Iowa? And I said, Well, as a matter of fact, I was Mrs. Iowa a couple years ago, and he said we watched you ride through the parade for the state fair parade, and I remember you. And I said, I can hardly believe that you remember me. That's been 18 months ago. And he said, oh no, because we thought, wow, there's a Mrs. Iowa, and isn't that interesting? And he said, well, what are you doing here today? And I said, I'm a lawyer, too, and I'm here to meet the Attorney General of Iowa about a big situation, a serious situation I have in Sioux City. And he said, isn't that something that, you know, he said, I would not have thought you were a professional woman. And I said, well, I am, and a lot of pageant individuals are professionals. And, you know, there's these Mrs. Pageants, and he said, well, that's really neat to know. I never thought about that. And I said, oh, yes, many, many people have, you know, causes and platforms. And so I thought how unusual that was that some random security, very nice older gentleman said, hey, you are Mrs. Iowa, and then got to see me in my role as an attorney. And I think that that's very important, especially for younger girls to see that, especially when we're older pageant title holders.
Well, and I think that also goes along with, you know, right now you have in the, several former Miss Americas who are actually running for office, you know, one running for an attorney general, running for Congress, you know, and it's people are starting to take notice that, you know, these national title holders, state title holders, they're doing something with their lives, and it's that crown and it's the position that they were, you know, were put into, and it's helping them make that change in their life, and it's helping them further what they want to do that then helps others in their communities and their states. And a lot of
Gretchen
them will attribute
Carlson.
It to.
Right, and Gretchen Carlson was Miss America, and she has stepped forward. You know, she was a trailblazer in the sexual harassment situation in the Time's Up movement that we have going on now. And she stood up to some very high-ranking, high-power people when she left Fox. And then, of course, we all know, and she wrote a book about it, and now we know also that, you know, she suffered also under the old Miss America administration, and now she's taken over. And she has said, you're going to see big changes. And I think that's amazing. And she's filled that board with former title holders to make sure that, you know, things are done well. So you're right. I think you're really seeing the beginning of the pageant holders' futures. They just don't go right off into the sunset. They progress to even bigger and more important things.
Right.
There are so
Go
many
ahead,
yes. title holders. Sorry. There are so many title holders who are put off, and sometimes they quit pageantry. And I have seen them recently because they participate in one system and they don't do well. And they think, you know, the whole pageantry system is just flawed because of that. And they just stop doing pageants. What would you tell a woman who has had that experience where maybe they did not have such a good experience in a pageant system, and they just do not want to compete anymore, but they have a good platform. They have been working hard they've been working hard and everything. So what would you tell them?
I think first of all, you have to sit back and look at, you know, look at their performance and maybe what caused them at that, you know, in that particular pageant, why they scored low, why they didn't do as well. You know, and that goes back to my belief that, you know, any pageant, you should have access to your judges' comments, you know, because that's what helps you make that change for the future for the better. But then, you know, once you know, based on comments, you know, based on maybe talking with the director or talking to other people involved, then you can sit down and say, okay, this is what we need to work on. And maybe that wasn't the right pageant for you. Maybe we should look at this pageant, or maybe we should look at that pageant. You know, some people can get very frustrated very easily, and it can be self-defeating, you know, in that purpose. But yet, if you can take a step back and say, you know what, maybe I wasn't on that day. Maybe it wasn't my best performance. You know, maybe there was something that happened in my personal life that kept me from being 150% when I hit that stage. You know, so then you work on that and you decide where you're going to, you know, what the next one's going to be, where you're going to enter, and look at, you know, what you need to do. And, you know, if at that point, you know, you're still, I don't want to do this, you know, then maybe it's not for you. You know, Unfortunately, it's not for everybody, and sometimes it just takes one pageant to learn that. But I think it's more of looking at your performance and what you can change for the next one.
Well, Roseanne and I have talked about how people who are interested in pageants can look for the system that's right for them. What advice would you give someone who just wants to find the perfect system and they maybe do not want to waste money in competing in tons of different systems? How do you search for the perfect system?
You have to look at your strengths and what your interests are and do your research. I mean, I know that I've had several contestants who have said, you know, right up front, which surprised me, but it shouldn't have surprised me. And they said, you know, we are competing in Nationwide because, you know, we've looked at your website, we've looked at your Facebook, we see what you stand for, we see what your past title holders are doing and what they've done, and this is what we want to do. And we really think this is a great system because of your areas of competition. You know, and again, it goes back to, you know, if you're a real talent-based person and you believe you have that talent that's going to get you somewhere, then go for the pageants that have talent as a large part of the score, because that's where you excel. You know, if it's a personal platform that you are, you know, that you truly believe in, go for the ones that you can see excel in that, you know. And you have to really, you have to do research. It's like trying to find the right job. You know, if you don't like fast food, well, you certainly shouldn't go apply at a fast food restaurant.
Right. I'm also a big advocate of seeking out former title holders, and if they're generous, asking them just for their opinions. If you had it all over to do again, what would you do different? What surprised you? What didn't surprise you? What do you think of that, Troy? Do you think reaching out to former title holders is a good thing to do?
Anybody who's been there, who's willing to give advice, that's always, you know, that's priceless, because they know what it takes and they know, you know, what they did right and what they did wrong and mistakes that they might have made or where they excelled when they were in the position. So, yeah, that's if you can find somebody who's willing to give you that advice, that's wonderful.
I know when I was doing Mrs. International, I happened to run into actually a news personality here in Sioux City who had done another division. She had done Miss, and she was so generous. She even reached out, gave me a mock interview, and she was the one that gave me so many little tips that I just didn't know and insights. And I am so thankful to this day for her advice, because there were things that I would have done different or I would have missed. And then I also did reach out to one of the runners up from the year before me, and she had a great idea. You know, she said to me, you're going to have a 30-minute, you know, canned presentation. And she's like, don't wait if you make the top 10. And she said to me, I waited. I didn't have it. I blew it. I think I could have done even better than I did. I think I could have won. And she said, don't take the chance. Don't think you're not going to make the top 15 or something. Make sure you had it. Now, I didn't make the top 15, but during rehearsal, they chose certain ones of us to go out on the stage and do that, and there was only myself and one other person that could do it, and that gave me a boost of confidence going into finals night, because I thought, well, if I do get called up, I've got my 30 seconds, and I have it down flat, and so just having that gave me a little bit more confidence, and I wouldn't have had that but for the fact that she said to me, do not wait and try to think you're going to do this in the hotel room. You don't have time. And she was right. So those little tips are invaluable.
Right. Definitely.
Well, Troy, do you have anything else you'd just like to share with our listeners? And if they are interested in the Miss Worldwide, in the Miss Nationwide system, excuse me, or in contacting you as a pageant coach, how can they get a hold of you?
My pageant coaching is Crowning Achievement Consulting. It's on Facebook, so all the information is there. Miss Nationwide, or the Nationwide Pageant System, whether it's for Miss or Misses, we have our website, which is www.missnationwide.com. All the information is on there on how to become a contestant, you know, how to become involved as a volunteer, our past, you know, our future, it's all there. And there's all, you know, links there to get hold of me. I have a Facebook page as National Director that I can be reached at. You know, with today's technology, that phone's in our hand all the time. So it's not going to be, you know, if that comes through, it's not going to be long before you get a reply message back.
Right. And if they can't get through that, I would like to say that I'm your general counsel. I do your legal work for you. And so I'm very pleased to also participate in your system and be on your staff. So if somebody wants to get a hold of me to get a hold of you, that's fine. And they, of course, know how to get a hold of me at Sassrisations or my Facebook page. And also on the consulting, do you do in person, over the phone? Would you also do FaceTime? Do you have several different avenues for coaching in case someone's not in the area?
Yeah, I mean, we can do over the phone, you know, by email. Haven't done FaceTime, probably something I should learn. email, you know, the whole works there. So.
All right, all right. Well, and I want to give you a big personal thank you. Troy is a very good friend of mine and has held my hand and got me started in the pageant world. And so I just so appreciate that you came on our show today.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, thank you so much, because I really think that our listeners could really benefit from your expertise, because I'm sure there are so many listeners who want to get into pageantry, but they don't know what to expect, they don't know what to do, and episodes like these really help to give them insight.
Right, right. You know, and the other thing too, you know, the final thing is that, you know, we might have that title of judge, but we're just sitting there to help you become the better yourself. You know, in the end, we're there to help you be better the next time, and we're not scary. We really aren't. I know sometimes contestants, you know, are just, oh, it's a judge, oh, but yet we're there to help them in the end.
Right, and I've judged with Troy, and I have to say, I think I'm more nervous on the judge's side of the table, because everybody is usually so amazing and I don't want to make the wrong choice. So I think I'd rather compete, actually. Well, thank you again, Troy, so very much. We know you're very busy and we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and our listeners today.
I appreciate it. And thank you both.
All right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.